is no sign of your intelligence to confirm that all religions are going up the same mountain. You have to deny the fundamental teachings of the religions of the world to come to that conclusion.
Craig Parton, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims.
They may all be wrong, but do any of them ask to be tested by the canons of evidence used in the law, science, and history?
Learn more about Religion on Trial at issuesetc.org.
I would say, due to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
I will make you birthday cakes, cookies, brownies, you know, sell you anything else in the shop. I just don't do cakes for same-sex weddings.
When you're getting older and you see all of your kids loving the gospel and you think to yourself, thank God, here is a treasure and this treasure will outlive me.
There is no 100% certain factual case. There's always the possibility we got it wrong. But look, it's been 2,000 years and they haven't found a body.
Moms in labor, love issues, etc.
The op-ed piece in the Orlando Sentinel with the headline, Gay Wedding Cake Case and Others Make Christianity Look Bad. If you read into this column, you find, well, it's an opinion held by a lot of Christians. They think that we've made just too much out of something like Masterpiece Cake Shop, that Supreme Court decision, that Jack Phillips probably should have just baked the cake. It would have been a better witness to the world if he had done that. It wouldn't have made Christianity look like it was homophobic or whatever it was that Christianity ends up looking like most of the time nowadays in the eyes of the world. Should Christians care how holding to what God's word says makes them look, either individually or corporately, to the world? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be responding to that op-ed piece in the Orlando Sentinel. Dr. Peter Scair will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. After that, we'll spend some time with you, our listeners, responding to your email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Then an hour or two of Issues Etc. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary with Pastor David Peterson. The propers for the coming Sunday surrounding the gospel reading in Luke on judging one another. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a recent op-ed column for the Orlando Sentinel titled Gay Wedding Cake Case and Others Make Christianity Look Bad, Dr. Peter Scair, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He formerly served on the task force God's Gift of Human Sexuality for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, great to be with you, Todd.
How do you respond to the general sentiment that I think is reflected in the op-ed piece from the Orlando Sentinel that Christians need to be concerned about what the world thinks of them? And if we engage in this kind of legal wrangling over religious freedom, it's going to make us look bad.
Yeah, we're going to look bad if we're faithful to the Lord. And this is what our Lord told us many times. He said, if the world hates me, it's going to hate you. If it calls me Beelzebub, it'll call you even worse of a devil. I'm reminded of what he said about John the Baptist. He said, you know, John came, he wasn't eating and drinking, and cut him no slack. I came eating and drinking, and you called me a glutton, a drunkard. That this idea that we can ever please the world. Now, in a certain sense, of course, we should live lives that give glory to God in generosity towards others, in love for the poor and care for all. But if, in fact, we are faithful, then we should expect opposition to the world, and we should care more about the opinion of our Lord Jesus Christ than we should about any kind of opinion poll that is put out there. And the other thing is this kind of thing really bothers me because I see Christians out there that are actually putting themselves on the line in faithfulness to the Lord, and it seems like we're so quick to abandon them. These are fellow members of the body of Christ. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body should also hurt, should come to. Christ says to St. Paul, then Saul, he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I think this is the kind of article, though, that is in itself scandalous, because we need to come to the aid of our fellow Christians, most especially when they're being faithful to Christ, to the truth which saves us. And so I don't have much love for this kind of an op-ed.
How would you respond, and this is a common sentiment among our fellow Lutherans, that, look, this issue of the baker refusing to make a custom wedding cake for a gay couple, that's just matters of the law. Lutherans are people of the gospel. The devil doesn't care about the law. The devil's always attacking the gospel. We have no business either engaging in this or taking a side.
I wish that he were as kind towards his fellow Christian as he seems to be towards the world. He should actually go and meet this baker who shows such love for all people. What he's doing is speaking poorly of him. And I'm not big on calling people out for the Eighth Commandment, because that can be overdone. But he's not defending, speaking well of, and explaining Jack Phillips's actions in the kindest ways. In fact, he's taking all the pejoratives and all the negatives against Jack, and he's simply repeating them, because Jack is a Christian and he serves all people. That's the truth. He loves all people, and that's the record. And as far as this gospel thing, we really have to think through this, because we have to remember that Jack, in his own way, is making an absolutely wonderful confession of the faith and of the gospel. And we can't confess the gospel that Christ is our Lord, the Lord of all things, that he died for our sins and deny sins. Then what sins will be forgiven if we deny that they are actually sins? And then also this wedding thing is huge. I mean, because we confess marriage from the beginning of the gospel, from the beginning of the Bible till the end. So God is the one who ordained marriage. So we are confessing God as creator. Christ is the one who blessed marriage. So we are saying that the word of Christ is truthful. Christ is also the one who says that the heavenly banquet will be a marriage. So when we deny the truth of marriage, we do deny the gospel. It's a package deal. And whenever we preach the gospel, we are preaching the human life which Christ has sanctified, which he has redeemed. You can't have one without the other. And by confessing Christ as our bridegroom, naturally we're going to confess the truth of marriage. And as we confess the truth of marriage, that it really does matter, so also we will confess that Christ is our bridegroom. And this is also standing up for our littlest neighbor, because the purpose of marriage, as Jack Phillips well knows, is that children are involved. Marriage is not something simply that we make up out of our selfish ways. It's not a man-made institution. It's given by God, and it's found in natural law. Every single child has a mother or a father, biological. It's the purpose of marriage to bring that father home. And I find this ironic, as we're talking about how terrible it is that the government seems to be breaking up families, you know, whatever the truth of that is, through immigration policies. We could debate that sort of thing. But natural marriage is precisely to bring a father into the home, to unite a father and a mother so that together they can raise a child. And this is true in natural law, whether you believed in Christ or not. But we who believe in Christ then have all the more duty to proclaim this, both in to the glory of our Lord Jesus, who laid down his life for us, but also in service to our neighbor, for the kids. My heart breaks for all those kids who don't have fathers at home. My heart breaks for those who don't know where they're going to go. You know, on Thursday or Friday, they don't know which house they're going to spend in. Is it mom's or dad's? They might not even know their dad. And that's why natural marriage matters. It's not simply some religious thing or we're picking on something. It's because the lives of kids are at stake and they need moms and dads. And that's a truth that's found in the Bible. And it's also reflected in nature and reflected in all the troubles that are ongoing among us.
So one of the points that the writer of the op-ed in the Orlando Sentinel makes is that the very scriptures that Christians use to condemn homosexuality also call for the death penalty for adulterers. He says, why aren't they fighting over that issue? Why the double standard? How do you respond?
Yeah, there is no double standard. I only wish that he would actually get to know the case and not just read about it from those who dislike Jack Phillips. Jack Phillips is a good Christian man. And he'll make a cake for anybody. It's not about the sinner. He loves all people. But, for instance, people have asked him to make kind of scandalous cakes, cakes which talk about sex in a way that's ungodly. He's also been asked to make cakes for bachelor parties that have kind of, you know, the girl coming out of it sort of thing. And he's declined in that too. And it's not because he doesn't love this group or that group. He does love all people. But he doesn't want to use his artistic skills to celebrate that which is sin. And remember, that which is sin also has consequences. Sin leaves people hurting. So he doesn't want to use his skills in order to. But if you would ask him, for instance, to make a cake that would celebrate a divorce, he would say no. If you ask him to make a cake that would say a happy living together sort of thing, however you might want to call it, he would say no. And now if you ask him to make a birthday cake for anybody, he would say yes, and that's his conscience. And I think, you know, I love when people decide for others what their conscience should be. I think the real truth is, the real gut check is, I think, is a lot of our consciences have simply grown dull. And we're not used to Christians who actually take seriously God's word, because so often we've gotten used to the corruption. We've gotten used to, like a frog in hotter and hotter water, that it kind of stuns us when we see a Christian who actually still cares. And then hopefully it inspires us. I would say to anybody who doesn't know about the case of Jack Phillips, please go to YouTube and go to the Alliance Defending Freedom and see in his own words what kind of a fellow Jack is, because he's kind-hearted. He's not the kind of person that is being portrayed by the media. But these are Christians like you and me. Christians, he's a Christian who wants to be faithful to the Lord, to the bridegroom, to the one who sacrificed himself, to the God who created him in his own image, to the God who promises eternal life to him, who promises the heavenly wedding feast. All of these things matter to him. And he also cares about kids who don't have a home because marriage is broken in our society. And he wants no part of that. And, you know, neither should we. We should be the first people that come to Jack's defense and not join in. The author of this column wants nothing more. I think it's kind of a cowardice because he doesn't want to have to face the fire that comes with being a faithful Christian. But it's also, he wants to please the world. And in the end, we've got to ask ourselves, what do we want? Do we want to be patted on the back by the world, by the press? We'll never do enough for them. What I really want is, and I know we're fallen people and we do our best, but I want our Lord to say of me, of you, a well done, good and faithful servant. So that's the faithfulness to the Lord must ultimately be our goal. And his word of approval in the end is the only word that's going to matter, not the way of the world. And we're not going to win them over. There's no way we're going to win the world over by speaking less truth, by speaking less in love, by confessing Christ less. That's not the way to win the world. The way to win the world is to speak courageously and in love, to be both tender and strong, to make a strong confession in all that we do, but in humility of our own faults, our own sins, which are ever before us. But I applaud Jack Phillips, and he humbles me, and I pray that I would have that kind of courage to stand up under the fire.
Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're responding to a recent op-ed column in the Orlando Sentinel titled "Gay Wedding Cake Case and Others Make Christianity Look Bad." When we come back, what has been the track record of Christian denominations who've compromised with the culture?
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.org. Edu.
I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled "Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher." It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, It affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, responding to a recent op-ed column in the Orlando Sentinel titled Gay Wedding Cake Case and Others Make Christianity Look Bad. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. He formerly served on the task force God's Gift of Human Sexuality for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's associate professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, forms servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Now, if you've ever considered the vocations of pastor or deaconess, now is the time. Tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary will be paid in full for the upcoming school year. Learn more at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Peter, let's kind of broaden it out a little bit. What has been the track record of Christian denominations that have decided to compromise with culture on issues of human sexuality, marriage, etc.?
It doesn't go well, because faith in the heart must be expressed. Salvation and justification come from faith and from speaking. And if we don't confess our faith, if we're not willing to live out our faith, that faith will die. It will suffocate. And we see this time and again with denominations that try to please the world. Eventually, they look exactly like the world. And we see it, you know, we see it in the United Methodist Church, the liberal denominations. The mainline churches have long ago flatlined. And instead of crosses, we see, and what is there to die for? Instead of crosses, we see the rainbow flag. If you want to know what their creeds are, simply read the New York Times or the Yahoo page. And whatever culture believes, then they also believe. So we need to put that aside and actually go back to the scriptures and humble ourselves. Because if we want to pass down a legacy to our children, and that legacy of faith, that legacy is Christ, then we must be faithful to our Savior. So we've seen it before. In that sense, there's not really going to be any excuse for us. If we go down that road, well, we know what happens down that road. And if you look at Christianity in America and you see how it's falling, you know, by the wayside in so many places, well, making it Christianity light is not going to strengthen the situation. Where we see Christianity growing, we see people who care more about Christ than the reputation, than they care about money, than they care about mammon, than they think about what the world thinks about them. We don't have to be in the cafeteria and have the cool kids like us. Whether the cool kids will never like us, and if they do, then we're in trouble. Because we have to recognize that the dominant culture, the secular culture, is at this time not, it's not neutral. It's very much against us. All the more now are we called to stand against the tide, to offer a voice that's so different than the world has ever heard. It's a word of righteousness, but yes, it's a word of love. It's a word in confession of God who created us. It's a word that says, yeah, he made us father, gave us fathers and mothers, and God, in fact, is our father. The two are related. We have to remember that the same churches that first started down this path with women's ordination have lost, they've lost even knowledge of God himself, and they're not even able to call upon him in the simplest prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. So remember, his is the kingdom, his is the glory, not ours. If we have to be called all sorts of things, that's what our Lord says in the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when men revile you and curse you and say all sorts of evil about you for my name's sake. So yeah, make sure that what we're doing is for the sake of Christ and in the one who is the way, the truth, and the light. But then be prepared for this. I think, you know, we've kind of kidded ourselves for a long time thinking persecution would not come our way. And at the first sign of it, there's always going to be those who will betray their fellow Christians. And we see this in that kind of article by this fellow who's all too quick to abandon a person like Jack Phillips, a person like Baron L. Stutzman. These are down-to-earth Christians who, when you actually meet them, not only will their confession humbles me, but also their kindness and love. I mean, the two go hand in hand. So again, meet these people, talk to these people, and then you'll find out where the truth actually lies.
Two final thoughts here for you, Peter. One of them is, whenever I read something like this op-ed piece in the Orlando Sentinel, urging Christians to just stay quiet on this, lest we somehow be thought less of by the world because we're simply standing up for what Scripture teaches. I think about John the Baptist, who ends up in prison not because he is out there preaching the gospel, which he certainly is doing, but because he dared to tell Herod that what he was doing was unlawful, Herod having taken his brother's wife to be his own. He's in prison and ultimately dies because he was a moral corrective to the civil authorities. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely, and the two are very closely tied together. Remember, so John the Baptist, as you well put, he corrected the king and he lost his head for it because of what he did with his marriage. But also remember, this is the same John the Baptist when proclaiming the Christ. He said, I'm the friend of the bridegroom, and as the friend of the bridegroom, I come to introduce to you the groom who is Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is the one who would ultimately lay down his life. So this is a matter of fidelity. And the way I like to think about it here is that when we say, think about Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. And then the next verses 18 through 32, talk about idolatry and, yes, homosexuality as well. So you can't say, oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and then be ashamed of the words of our Lord. And he says, our Lord says, he calls those who are ashamed of him a wicked, and then note this, an adulterous generation. So to be ashamed of our Lord is to be adulterous. It means not to care about Christ first. And we can never, if we're ever ashamed of Christ and his words, which he clearly speaks, for instance, about what marriage is. If we're ashamed of Christ's words, we become ashamed of him. And faith cannot long live in such a heart that has denied our Lord and that is ashamed of him. So in that sense, we must be like a faithful wife who proclaims the love of Christ to the world, but also is proud of Christ for all he has done in everything that he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The minute we begin to go down another road where we're picking and choosing, then we're showing where our heart really is, and it's somewhere else other than resting in Christ.
Finally, I recently spoke with Dr. Russell Dawn, who teaches at Concordia University in Irvine, California, and he pointed out, he was opining about the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. And he said, really, if you look at that decision, it's a decision that was dealing with two religions. One was the claims and the conscience of Christianity in the case of Jack Phillips. But the other religion at play was that kind of ubiquitous, institutionalized secularism that has become a religion in and of itself. And he said, look, what we're really looking at here is how much tolerance will the religion of secularism have for traditional Christianity. Do you agree?
Yes, secularism is a very jealous God, which I guess in a way it shows how much they believe. It also shows how the lie can't stand the truth. And if you look, I mean, I see in neighborhoods, it happens closer on the coast, but now it's coming to us in the heartland. What you see are fewer and fewer crosses and more houses that fly the rainbow flag. And the rainbow flag, likewise, is to be found even in the churches of our land. And that is indeed a very different religion. And I think I should point out that when our Lord does come in judgment in the book of Revelation, he reclaims the rainbow for himself. Because in the book of Revelation, he says when he comes, there will be a bow over his head. That bow is the rainbow. This is the rainbow that reminds us, of course, the judgment of the earth, but even more, it reminds us of the grace. And when we deny the God who declares certain things right and wrong, so also do we deny the God who has come to save us. So this is a spiritual battle, and our country has been largely overtaken. Certainly the kind of forces, the powers that be, power, we're talking here like Romans, powers and principalities, and there is no tolerance for the truth among us. So now this is not to be too dire. I mean, I don't want to be that, because being a Christian still has joy. There's joy in the midst of difficulty. There's joy in the midst of persecution, because we do have to remember that the Lord who comes is the Lord who gave us the rainbow in the first place. He's the God of creation who created us all, Adam and Eve. He's the one who gave us life through the coming together of one man and one woman. So our very life is dependent upon that relationship. And it's the very Lord who loves us enough that he would die for us like a true groom would die for his bride. And knowing that kind of love, if I get frustrated or down a little bit, I remember that, and I remember the God who loves us, and then it's going to be all right. Now, maybe not now, but he was faithful unto death. Well, he will receive the crown of eternal life. And that's what we need to encourage one another with now, and not to capitulate like this column does.
One final question for you, Peter. I know that this week you have been involved with young people there at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Christ Academy, if I'm not mistaken, young prospective pastors and prospective deaconesses as well. What is your sense of those young people who are preparing to face the world as pastors and deaconesses and to face the church that way? What are their thoughts on these things?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just introduced the other day, and I was reminded that I've been teaching at the seminary for longer than these students have been alive. So these are 15 and 16-year-olds, but they are a remarkable group. I mean, I do think as the time progresses, the church, even if it grows smaller in some sense, I think is going to grow stronger. I think it's going to grow more courageous, more confident. It's kind of like our young people from the beginning, they've had to go to the gym. They've had to exercise their faith. They will have had to face opposition. And that doesn't make you weaker. It actually makes you stronger, because when you're in a situation when your faith is never challenged, you go flaccid and you start taking for granted things that are really absolutely wonderful. So when these things happen, when the truth is denied, it makes the truth all the sweeter. When the scriptures are denied, it makes me want to run back to the scriptures all the more. And that's the great joy we have. And to be with these young people, it's absolutely invigorating, because by God's grace, they will be great confessors of the faith that we hand down to them. And it's a sacred responsibility from generation to generation. I'm glad to play a small part of it, recognizing, again, all of our own foibles and faults and failings. But the Lord continues to bless this church, and these young people, I think, are going to make a good confession.
Dr. Peter Scare is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He formerly served on the task force, God's Gift of Human Sexuality for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Peter, thanks for being our guest.
Yeah, my pleasure.
There were many years that I held the opinion that we've been critiquing here in this last half hour of Issues, Etc. with Dr. Peter Scare, the opinion that, well, if Lutherans are people of the gospel, then anything we have to say by way of the law can only be detrimental to the gospel, perhaps even detrimental to my hearers' salvation when I was preaching regularly. I've written about it in the latest Issues, Etc. journal. It's absolutely free, and it's online. You can subscribe for free and read there my article, Confessions of a Well-Intended Preacher. Issuesetc.org. Look for the red button. Click on that and enter your email address, and we'll send you the online Issues, Etc. journal absolutely free. When we come back, we'll be going through your email and the Issues, Etc. comment line and responding. With so many religions in the world today, how can we know which, if any, is true? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for June is Religion on Trial, Examining Religious Truth Claims. It's written by regular guest Craig Parton. Learn more about Religion on Trial at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. book of the month, Religion on Trial by Craig Parton.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com and like them on Facebook. facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina. Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa. Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois. And Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300.